This is part two of the review for the first midterm exam for Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Religion 203. And we're starting with, part one, by the way, is on the video recordings on YouTube, linked from the video podcast and class notes forum. Was it God's will for Israel to have a king? No, God wanted to be their king, but they, according to the story, in the Bible, wanted a king because everybody else had a king. one thing that scholars look at is that they were easy prey to foreign invaders who did have a king. They were a loose confederation of tribes. And so with a king, they became more capable of military defense and actually had some amount of independence and were able to keep their enemies at bay for several generations. So they go from being ruled by judges to kings. Again, there's a religious reason, which is that the people cry out for a king and because they want to be like everybody else, which is seen as bad. God finally relents and gives them a king, even though he's not happy about it. And then perhaps a secular explanation, which is that they're a loose confederation of tribes, and because they don't have a king and a single military commander, they are easily invaded, and so people are unhappy about this and want a king for that reason. The first king of Israel was Saul. His good qualities, he was tall, charismatic, a good military commander. His fatal flaw was that he couldn't follow orders. It was insubordination. And he is rejected as king by God, so he's basically fired as king for two reasons. We have two separate stories which tell us why Saul was given the boot. So the first one is that he performed a sacrifice reserved for the priests, and the second one is that he botched the Amalekite genocide. He was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, to kill all their animals, and instead he only killed the sickly and poor animals, took all the good animals and gave them to his troops as spoil, and also captured Agag, their king, and brought him back to Jerusalem to be made sport of, cutting off his thumbs to humiliate him and bringing him back as sort of a trophy. And so in both these stories, at the end, Saul is told that he will no longer be king. David's first son with Bathsheba dies because of David's adultery. It's punishment for David's adultery with her. The real reason for David's son Absalom organizing a political rebellion, again, it's punishment for David's adultery with Bathsheba. How did the Babylonian captivity help change Israel's... this is a long sentence. How did the Babylonian captivity help change, I think it should say Israel, apostrophe S, Israel's theocratic religion of priestly and ritual sacrifice tied to a specific geography to a religion centered around widespread small independent communities who got together to pray and study the scriptures? Well, because the sacrifices had to be done in Jerusalem, and the temple had been destroyed, they couldn't do any more sacrifices. So what did they have left? They had their sacred stories. And so in order to go over the sacred stories, you need someone who knew the oral traditions, or you needed a literate person to be able to read them, and also a scholar to understand and interpret them. And so you get the rise of the office of rabbi, a teacher who's literate, who is well-versed in the scriptures, and the sacrifices and the ceremonies and rituals become less important. And you need a place to get together, so they would get together in someone's home. Later on, when they go back to the kingdom of Judah, they do the same thing, but eventually have standalone dwellings, or not dwellings, standalone buildings for people to get together called synagogues. But this idea that you go to a place on the Sabbath to worship, to pray, to study the scriptures, this all came about in Babylon, when that's all you could really do as a captive in Babylon, because you were cut off from your ancestral holy land, from the temple, the place where you could do those other things. And of course, the theocratic part, the king, you're a subjugated and defeated people, so you don't have a political leader as part of your religion either. You're a conquered people, you're scattered amongst the Babylonians, so what you have left is your sacred traditions, prayer and worship of God, and your scriptures. The Jewish concept of the Messiah is of a military conqueror who will defeat Israel's enemies and reestablish the political kingdom of Israel. What were the early Jewish beliefs of the afterlife? When you're dead, you're dead. Your body, along with some ghostly vestige of you, rests in the earth for all eternity, unless someone breaks God's law by calling it up for a seance. After the seance is over, you go back into the earth, you go back to sleep. And you're like that for eternity. There's no idea that you will eventually be resurrected. There's no teaching about dying and going to be with God in heaven. You just rest in the earth with no experience, either good or bad. And everybody goes to the same place. So if the good, the bad, the ugly, they all go to the grave. And then most Jews today, and Jesus as well, believe that when you die, you go to be with God, and that someday there'll be a resurrection of the dead, where everyone will be resurrected either to eternal reward or punishment. And how and why did these beliefs change? Excuse me, change. So you had, first of all, you had the story of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel, which originally was meant for as a metaphor for the restoration of Israel as a political kingdom. Later on, people took it literally because it's a sort of striking story. When the Persians came in and defeated the Babylonians, the Jews picked up some things from their religion of Zoroastrianism, including resurrection, heaven and hell, and belief in Satan. You see all those things come right after their interaction with the Persians and this religion called Zoroastrianism. And most scholars think that this is they picked up those ideas from the Persians. Hanukkah celebrates Jewish independence from the Greek rulers. Antiochus Epiphanes persecutes the Jews, sacrifices a pig to Zeus in their temple, and so they rebel and kick out the Greeks and have a degree of, actual independence for about another 100 years until the Romans come in. It looks like I have this Messiah question twice. How did the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD change Judaism? Well, there, the short answer is no more sacrifices, because sacrifices have to be done at the temple. No more temple, no more sacrifices. The modern state of Israel was established in 1948. And the 70 AD and 1948, important dates. I think those, apart from maybe the Exodus, are good dates to know. I don't have a lot of dates on the exam. You should know, like, dates of the early Judaism about the afterlife teachings. I'm not going to get fancy with those dates and change them. They'll just be part of the prompt of the question. Let's see. Oh, 1948 is when Israel was reestablished as a nation. The Talmud is commentary by rabbis on the Jewish law. It contains lots of different kinds of teachings, detailed directions on how to follow the commandments, like how to obey the Sabbath. Tells you what counts as work in excruciating detail. You get theological speculation, like how old was Adam when he was formed from the ground? How did the demons survive? Were there demons on Noah's Ark? Because otherwise, how would they have survived the flood? Why was Esau so hairy? So lots of stuff about demons, about creation, and kind of trying to fill in the holes. So you have these extra biblical stories and traditions which try to explain and fill in the holes of the sparse biblical narratives. And let's see what else. The four main branches of Judaism. So that's the Orthodox, the it's just in the handout there in Moodle. The Orthodox, the Conservatives, the Reformed, and the Reconstructionists. And the Orthodox are the most conservative, and the Reconstructionists are the most liberal, and they're sort of on a spectrum. You can look at the details in the handout. I guess that's it for the test. So if you have any questions, please free to send me a little message. You get one single 3x5 card, front and back for notes. You have until not tonight. You have until next Thursday. So I believe the 27th, October 27th, to complete the exam. 7 o'clock. You need to arrive 1 hour before closing. Bring your student ID. And if you have any other questions, good luck. The lab on the main campus is in Center 311. All right, good luck on the exam.